My dear friends in Christ, why did Jesus keep his scars after the resurrection? He possessed a glorified body capable of walking through a door, capable of walking through walls. And he deliberately chose to retain his wounds, his gaping wounds in his hands, his feet, and his side. Why? Today's gospel, Jesus appears to the apostles and uses these very wounds as his primary identification. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, Christ reveals himself to us through his wounds, in his wounds, with his wounds. His wounds are no longer a sign of defeat. They are the glorious trophies of merciful love. Through this divine mercy, our own wounds of sin and doubt are not the end of our story. No, they're the exact places of God's merciful work in our lives. My dear friends, think of where the apostles are in today's gospel. They're hiding, locked behind doors, tucked away in an upper room, struck with fear. They're crushed by their shame for having abandoned Jesus during his passion. All but St. John. Can you imagine the crippling shame? Curtains drawn, candles put out, wallowing in sorrow and shame, in darkness. Notice Jesus does not wait for them to come to him to apologize. Nor does he enter the locked door to scold them, to shame them for their cowardice. No, he simply enters, shows them his wounds, and offers them his peace. Without a word, without a glance, without any effort upon their part, he offers peace. And then he breathes the Holy Spirit upon them. And he says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. What a profound act. Without any effort on their part, for having the greatest betrayal in all history, maybe second to Judas's, God forgives them. And in that very moment, institutes the sacrament of reconciliation for each and every one of us. Do you see how little it takes to show up to confession? And the Lord offers his peace. Pope St. John Paul II writes so beautifully that the Easter Christ is the definitive incarnation of mercy, that his wounds are the enduring visible signs of a love that completely conquers our betrayals. Brothers and sisters, we all have locked rooms in our hearts. We have places of shame, of past sins, of regrets, that we try and hide from God, unsuccessfully, mind you, but we try and hide it, don't we? We must realize the confessional is our own upper room, if you will, an upper room within an upper room. The church here, the altar, this is our upper room. And still there's another one, a greater one, where he offers us his peace. Think about this. He passes through our defensive walls in the confessional. Not to condemn us, but to breathe his peace upon us and to heal us. What little it takes for us to show up with the walls, with our doubts, with our despairs, with our sins, for God to break them down, to bust them through, and to offer us his peace. We also see how God's mercy handles our doubts. Thank you, Doubting Thomas. He misses the first encounter. Hears about it from the apostles and says, no, thank you. I'll believe it for myself when I see it. Some of us can resonate with Doubting Thomas. Jesus returns a week later and accommodates his request, his demand, without hesitation, and he turns a profound moment of doubt into a moment of profound revelation. Why? It's more than just for St. Thomas. St. Gregory the Great offers this beautiful consolation to us in this scene. He teaches that God's mercy arranged that the disbelieving disciple would be disbelieving, that he might touch the wounds of his master's body, so that our wounds may be healed from our own disbelief. Is it hard to believe that God would allow a disbelieving disciple to teach us through our own disbeliefs so many years later? But this is the point. Because Thomas doubted, he was pushed to make the highest profession of faith. He falls to his knees and cries out, "My Lord and my God." Dear friends, living as a faithful Catholic in this world is difficult. I don't have to tell you that. In its own right, it's difficult living it as a Catholic priest. We often struggle feeling like we are walking in darkness, don't we? But Jesus reaches across some 2,000 years of history to speak to us today in this year of divine mercy, in this day of divine mercy, and he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and believed." We're not privileged to have walked during the time of Jesus. It might be easier to attest to and be followers of the followers of Jesus Christ if we had just seen him walking down the street yesterday. We're simply following his word and the testimony of those who did see Jesus. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. As St. Peter reminds us in our second reading, although we have not seen, we love him. We do. So we do not need to fake perfection before God. When we bring our authentic doubts and spiritual wounds to the wounded Christ, this is how his mercy uses our struggles to deepen our faith. His mercy uses our struggles to deepen our faith. It requires us to embrace our struggles, brothers and sisters, and to not try and be perfect before the Lord. No, but to connect to our wounded doubts and spiritual needs. Jesus did not erase the evidence of Good Friday. No, he glorified it. This is why he retained the wounds, to prove that his divine mercy is infinitely greater than our doubts, our fears, our cowardice, our sins. Thanks be to God. So I invite you this day, this week, to stop hiding your wounds from the Lord. What are you hiding? Whether it be a past sin that needs the healing of confession, whether it's a lingering doubt that needs his comforting presence, invite Jesus into your locked rooms of your hearts and allow his merciful love to transform you. In a few moments, we will prepare to receive the same risen Lord. I will elevate the host and echo the words of St. John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. No, we cannot physically touch his sacred wounds, but together we will pray. We will strike our chests, recognizing our own woundedness, and we will say, "Lord, I am not worthy." And in our hearts, we will reply with the exact same trusting faith of Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Amen.